You know, how we react to the things of God that happen in our life tell a lot. If you react with joy, if you react in a way that brings glory to God, you have an opportunity to influence other people. Question, if people were to ask you about Jesus, would you talk about him with joy? Is he somebody that you know well, that you spend time with? Is he the author of life for you? We see here just an incredible amount of joy and celebration and praising. It says here this man was clinging to them, just celebrating. Everybody's eyes turned to them like they had done something incredible, like they had done something special, yet where did they put the glory? Why do you look at me? It was all about Jesus. It's all about the resurrection of Jesus. And when these opportunities come up, the question is going to be, are you ready to be bold, church? Are you ready to be bold about the gospel? That's a choice. That's the thing that I'm going to put in your hearts and your mind today, because Peter and John, they were bold. They were willing to step out and to tell people about Jesus, regardless of what the consequences were going to be. They stepped out with the power and the glory of God. Are you ready to be bold? You see, boldness is this idea of opening the floodgates of your heart and letting whatever is in there come out. It's like amplifying what's in your heart to everyone else. So the question is going to be, what is at the core of your being? Is Jesus Christ at the core of your being? Right? The Bible says, out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. Are you ready to be bold about Jesus Christ? Are you ready to have a bold kind of love? A love that keeps no record of wrongs? That loves the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? That loves other people greater than yourselves? Are you ready to have a bold faith, willing to step out wherever God may call you to be? Are you ready to have a bold forgiveness, one that looks at others and is fiercely forgiving? You forgive often. You forgive completely. Are you ready to be bold, church? Because we have this tendency that we want to bring the things of the world into the church to try to fix them. That's not how the world's going to change. It's only going to change if you take the faith that you have out into the world. And you are the one that's going to change that. You're the one that can bring about the change that our world desires, because we can be bold about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you have to be careful. Boldness is not the answer. The gospel is the answer. You see, what's happened in our world today is that we have a lot of people that are bold, but they're bold in order to be self-serving. They have a boldness about their accomplishments because they're afraid of being a failure. And so they boast about their accomplishments, hoping to get the attention of others. Some people are bold about the things that have happened to them that have been wrong, seeking to get the attention of others. Are we going to be bold about the gospel of Jesus Christ? The truth of God that the world so desperately desires and so desperately needs. You see, we're going to see example in chapter 4 of these two men, Peter and John, and just their incredible boldness to speak against the authorities, against the things that are there, so they can speak truth into their life. Look what happens in verse 1. It says, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead." They're so greatly annoyed. You know why? We were just yelling, these are the Pharisees, these are the Sadducees. They were just yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him," thinking they would get rid of Jesus, that they would stop the movement. What happened? Death could not hold him. There was victory, right? And then here comes the Holy Spirit. Boom, right into the world. 3,000 people leave Judaism and they go to follow Jesus Christ. What's happening? And then here they come to the temple, and here's a man jumping and leaping and praising God. And they're like, "What are we going to do?" Everywhere we go, people are coming to know the power of Jesus Christ. And if you look at this, verse 4 says, "But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Talk about exploding church growth. Why? Because the power of God and the gospel were being proclaimed. And people saw it in action, and they were bold to tell the story. But what is the Sadducees and the priest's reaction? Frustration. Now listen, boldness mixed together with frustration is dangerous. It'll imprison you and the people around you. Here's what I mean. This is how we say it in today's words. You ever been around someone where you have to walk on eggshells around them? Feeling like if you say the wrong thing, they're going to explode? You know how I know this one so well? This was me, all right? When I was coaching football, I would come home from a day of teaching math, of football. Things would just go bad. And I would come home, and everybody would look at me when I came in the door to see what kind of look was on my face, whether this was a good day or a bad day, right? So I would, all of a sudden, it was like light to a roach. People just disappeared when they saw that look, right? And like the things that they hadn't done for the day, rooms got clean, right? Dishes got picked up because they did not want the wrath of dad to come out. That is not a good way to be a dad. That's not a loving father, right? To let frustration be mixed with boldness. That's a bad way to live. So we see that here. What do? They imprison them, right? They throw them in jail because they say they're greatly annoyed. This Greek word means they are being worked over. They just couldn't find an answer how to stop this movement. So their answer was to stuff it away and try to get rid of it, right? And on the next day, verse 5, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were with the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" They know the answer. They know this was by the power of Jesus. But they just want to ask again. They want to give them a chance to get out of it. This is like someone at work asking you, like, "Do you really believe this Jesus stuff? You've told them before, but they keep pushing the edge. Are you going to be bold, church?" This is what they're pressing on them. The Pharisees' pride, their fear of losing the power that they have, now is mixed with boldness, and that is a terrible combination, right? It's going to bring about wreck. It's going to wreck people's lives. It's going to bring about destruction. Pride mixed with boldness turns into foolishness. If you have pride and you continue to boast, it's just a matter of time till you fall. It's just a matter of time until you fall to the expectations that you have set for yourself. Guys, we don't want to be a fool. So what do we boast in? We boast in the one who would never disappoint. We boast in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who has the victory, the one who we look forward to returning again. Don't let your pride rise up and speak out of your pride. It brings about destruction. Here they are, trying to protect themselves, saying, "By what power and what name did you do this?" And then verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you remember last week, Paul did an amazing job preaching the word last week, right, talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon us. But here he makes a reference to Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, it's kind of like, any of y'all been in your car driving down the road, and on the radio comes a bop. Now, bop is the new phrase for like a good song, like a song you really like. Okay, so now you can feel cool at home, right? Like, "Oh, I love that bop." I think it was also really cool back in the 50s, but now it's cool again. Okay, it's kind of recycled its way back. But if you hear that bop on the radio, what do? You turn it up, right? Anybody with me? Like, you have the windows down, you turn it up, and you're like really unsafe. You're like, "Yeah," and you just like get on. Anybody singing it out? Okay, good. A few of y'all with me? Okay. Okay, I know a lot of y'all. I see some of y'all drive down the road, right? And some of y'all are working. Some of y'all are like, "Yeah, you're just jamming," all right? I want you to think of this idea of the volume being turned up. That's what it means, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You almost, when you're in that arena, like, for example, a second ago, when that song starts building up, "Death Was Arrested," you almost just can't help but sing, can you? Because it just, like, it draws it out of you, and you're like, "I just got to praise. I just got to sing that song." That's what the Holy Spirit does. When we get filled with the Spirit, the volume gets turned up so much that all we can do is speak what God's speaking through us. And that's our goal. Anytime you ever get on a stage, your goal should be, "Man, Lord, turn up the volume. I hope that everything I say is what you're trying to say as we're up here. Because if it's just me, I'm not going to be very good. But if it's the Lord speaking to our hearts, that's the power of God," right? So we want the Spirit to fill us up, to turn up the volume, right? And so that's what's happening here. He is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man. He's saying, like, really? You threw us in prison because we set a man free from his being lame and crippled and set him free, and that's why we're put in prison? Can you believe that? People will judge you because you do good things. People might treat you wrong even though you do good things. Crazy world out there, right? Same thing that they're facing here. They got put in prison because they healed someone. It's like, really? We're being put in prison because of that? But what this means, or by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, what? That by the power and the name of Jesus, right? You ever had that scenario in your mind of, okay, what happens if someone asks me to denounce my faith? What am I going to say? What are we going to say? Jesus, right? No, we're not going to back down, right? Here's an opportunity for them to back down, but they say no, right? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And this is that Psalm 118 verse that keeps coming up, right? The stone that the builders rejected will become the cornerstone, the foundation, the guide for the whole building that is our life. Right? And that's, that verse comes up again. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen? Preach it, right? This is preaching in sign language. Like, preach it, right? That's what you got to throw it out there sometimes. There he is preaching it right here. Now the question is, how is the world going to hear this message? Romans 10 tells us perfectly how this message can be heard. Because there's no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. But how are they going to hear if you don't go tell them? How are they going to hear if you're not willing to go out and preach? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful are the feet of you who bring good news? Are you ready to be bold? I don't think so. You didn't sound bold right there. Are you ready? I mean, think about this. There's joy. There is boldness. There's nothing that's going to silence their message. Are you ready to go out there and be the same way? Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They're like, I don't know that much. I'm just not that smart. It doesn't matter. What did drew people to them? Their boldness. What testified about Christ to them? Their boldness. They said, these guys are uneducated. They don't know anything, but they are bold. And that's the same challenge for us. That when we go in the world, are we bold? We don't have to know all the answers. We have to be excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, your attitude about Jesus matters. How you think about your faith matters. It changes the way you live in your home. It changes the way you're in your workplace. It changes the way you interact with the waiter or the waitress at a restaurant, that you are representing Jesus Christ in everything that you do. That's boldness, bold love, bold faith, bold hope. That's who we're called to be in Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. And so they called them and charged them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. You guys think cancel culture is a new thing, huh? You think that throughout history, people haven't tried to silence the people that spoke against them? I mean, go back to Cain and Abel. It began then. Our human nature is to cancel people that don't agree with us. And yet, what would you say? What are these guys going to say? You know them a little bit by now. Peter and John Are they going to be like, okay, we won't talk about Jesus anymore? What do you think? Is that it? No, right? We know the answer. We know what's coming next. Do you know what's coming next in your heart and your mind? When people ask you that in the world, do you know what you're going to answer them? Even if it costs you something, are you ready to answer? It costs them a night in jail. It's going to cost them eventually their life. But yet, they are not going to shy away from proclaiming Jesus. Look what it says. But Peter and John answered them. And I love how it says they both answered them. This wasn't just one of them. This is both of them. And you have to have people around you that are going to be there with you. They're going to stand side by side with you to stand together and say, no, Jesus. Right? And here, Peter and John, they answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must be the judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. We can't help it. Like, you can judge whether it's right or wrong, but I can't help but talk about my friend Jesus. I can't help but talk about the Savior of my soul, Jesus Christ. Joy and boldness mixed together, presenting the gospel. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. You see, they had locked up this man, new springy legs. They had locked him up in prison. He probably was bouncing around the prison cell, just trying it out, right? Trying to climb stuff, just having a great time, just enjoying life. Do we enjoy life that way? You know, this week has been such an up-and-down week for me. I started off the week with doing my first funeral as a lead pastor for Miss Waveline Battle. She was 100 years old. We adopted her as kind of adopted grandmother 25 years ago. And she just lived an incredible life, an incredible woman of God. She's been telling me for 10 years, I can't wait to see Jesus. She's been looking forward to that day. She's like, I want you to do my funeral 10 years ago because I want to go see him today. And God just kept around, and she kept going, why am I here? And her daughter would tell her, you're here to pray. You're here to pray for people. And she's been a prayer warrior for years and years and years because God is not done with you guys. He's not done. I don't know what abilities you have or disabilities you have. God's not done with you. Be bold in prayer, right? Ephesians 3:12 tells us to approach the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness that we're supposed to go before him. So I've had this up and down kind of week, but through all of it, what do you have to fight for? Joy. That's my challenge for you this week. When you leave here, are you going to have the joy of the leaping God? Right? And when you're walking through, maybe be like, hey, let me try that leap out. Don't hurt yourself, okay? Don't hurt yourself. Don't pull something. But if you pull something for Jesus, it's okay, right? But just go out there and leap and have fun and celebrate. Be bold this week. God might give you an opportunity this week to be bold. He might lob it up there. Are you going to take it? Are you going to take the opportunity to be bold for him in that conversation, just like Peter and John? I hope so. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will help us be bold. Lord, I pray that you will just rise up in us inexpressible joy. So, Lord, as we go throughout our week this week, Lord, that we can just celebrate you. We can have such joy in knowing that you are our God. Lord, whether we face trials, Lord, whether we face funerals, Lord, we can have comfort in you because your spirit is with us, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to be bold. Give us opportunities this week to be bold for you. Give us opportunities, Lord, to speak the name of Jesus and speak life into people. Lord, I pray for us this week that, Lord, as we get ready for family camp and we get ready, Lord, to celebrate and to have a great time together, that you will build relationships there, that you will help us to have joy and fun together. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. We pray all this in your name. Amen.